And he said, I find the fly that works best and I catch him. And all of a sudden, zzz, he caught one. And the thing ran, zzz, and he just smiled. Oh, he said, I love this. I said, what do you love? He said, I love playing with these fish. I just let them run because they think they're free. And I let them run, zzz, and then I reel it in and they run again, zzz. He said, oh, I love this. And the thing is just swimming all over the place. And I looked at him and I thought, you're just like the devil.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, a message from Pastor Wayne's series, Standing on the Promises. We'll be looking at Jeremiah, and we'll see how God gave him a promise, but along with it, there came an assignment. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, God's Spokesman.
Take out your notes with me, would you, as we continue in our Standing on the Promises series, and we're going to talk about someone who got not only a promise, but got an assignment with it. But before we do that, we're going to check your tests. So you can exchange that with your neighbor and let's take a look at it here. No, I'm just kidding. But let's try it together. He has granted, okay? He has granted to us his precious and magnificent in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. 2 Peter. All right. Now, that was a little weak. Let me pray for you. God help these people as they get this promise done. Okay, amen. All right, let's try it again. Go. He has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. 2 Peter 1:4. Good. Give yourselves a hand. And you did so good. Here's the one for next week. Let's read it right under there. Go. Thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will restore you. Before me you will stand. And if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. I want to talk about spokesman. How in the world today, we don't need just more religious chants or religious phrases or nice catchphrases from church. We need people who will be spokesmen for God, spokespersons of the throne. God gave a promise to Jeremiah. If you'll return, then I will restore you. And before me, you will stand. And if you learn, Jeremiah, to extract that which is precious from that which is worthless, if you know the difference, then you will be my spokesman. Now, Jeremiah was in trouble. I mean, he was in deep kimchi. Because you see, not only was he in trouble, so was Israel and Judah. And he was going down with the ship. Oh, but it wasn't always that way. You see, a few kings earlier under King David, it was a golden age and everything was going so well. And then came Solomon, a very wealthy and affluent reign. But from then, it started to go south. Solomon had a son named Rehoboam. Rehoboam throws the whole nation into a civil war because his resistance against following the ways that he was given counsel. And so what happens is a big civil war takes place. 10 tribes go to the north. They're called Israel under a man named Jeroboam. And Rehoboam takes the southern tribes. Only 2 stay with this guy, and that's called Judah. Now, for 20 kings worth, Israel stays apart from Judah. 2 centuries. 2 centuries go by, 20 kings, and 8 of those kings either commit suicide or are assassinated. And they do evil in the sight of God. And oh, God's heart is aching. The southern kingdom goes for 3.5 centuries under the same amount of kings. And only 8 of those are good. The rest are resistant and stiff-necked. The last of the good kings was a man named Josiah. And Josiah loved God, but then directly after him, 4 of his sons all went bad again. And it was during that time that Jeremiah appears on the scene. God says, Jeremiah, I want you to be a spokesman to these people. Because if you don't, the consequences of their sin is going to come upon them. And because of God's love for the people, no, not demeaning them, condemning them, being ashamed of them, but knowing the devastating effects of sin, he sends spokesmen to appropriately share God's heart. No, not God's wrath, God's heart. Because you see, what Israel didn't know was that there was an Assyrian king on his way down. And in 722 BC, they took 270,000 of these Israelites and they were never heard from again. Gone. And then in 587 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar would come down and take all of these that were leftovers and took them into captivity, or it's called a Babylonian captivity. And they stay that way until Israel becomes a nation again after World War II. A huge exile for centuries because of the wickedness of God's people. And God saw that coming. So he sent in a spokesman and he said, please tell them, because I don't want them to have to run to the wall and reap the consequences of their own sin. You see, God considers sin a big deal to him, not because he wants to rain on everybody's parade and he just has killed joy, God. No, he knows how he created us and we don't do well in sin. We've seen the effects of that, how it's destroyed families and relationships and churches and countries, because we were not created to do well in sin. It destroys us. It's like drinking hydrochloric acid. Your esophagus is not designed, nor your stomach, to handle that. It'll go right through you. A real major diuretic. It just will go right through you. It'll burn your insides out. Why? Because your body was not designed to do well with hydrochloric acid. And sin is like that. So God rushes in, sends a spokesman. But again, it's not out of anger. So many times the people in the world say, well, God's just a killjoy God. And you people are bigoted people. No, no, God knows the devastating effects of sin. We see it all around us. Story is told of some years ago, although thousands of cars are stolen in California every year, this one car that was stolen made state news on all the blotters, all of the radio stations. You see, a man had gotten into his car with some crackers that he had laced with cyanide or with poison because he was going to take it to his mountain cabin and put it around because there were some vermin or some rats that he wanted to get rid of. So it was laced with poison and he forgot something in his house. He ran back into his house, and while he was in his house, someone jumped in the car and stole it. Well, when he saw what would happen and knowing that there was those crackers on the front seat laced with poison, the police began to put out an all-points bulletin calling for this car to stop. And it was on the television, and they were rushing, finding, going after this car like they've never gone after a stolen car before. Why? Because they wanted to punish the man? Why? Because they wanted to let him know how demeaning he was and to condemn him? No. They were going after him because they wanted to save his life. And that's exactly what God does. He rushes after us to tell us about the devastating effects of sin, not to rain on our parade, but because he loves us so very much. And so in order to do that, because of God's heart, and in order to share his heart, he looks for and recruits spokespeople out of that great love. And God sends in someone called Jeremiah. You see, there's a lot of people in the world that think that they're free, just like the kings did right at the end. You see, it was Zedekiah who was right at the end, right before the Babylonian captivity. And Jeremiah came in and said, you've got to return back to God. And Zedekiah says, hey, we're free. I'm in power. We're fine. No, you're not. What you don't know is you're about to take all the people into captivity. And you are in captivity right now. You just don't know it. Repent. Oh, no, he says, get out of here. Jesus faced that too, because you see, spokesmen will face some resistance. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The Pharisees who heard that said, wait a minute, we are Abraham's offspring, they said in John 8:33. We're Abraham's offspring. We're of a greater pedigree, and we've not been enslaved to anybody. And Jesus said, but he who sins is a slave of sin. And they said, who told you this? We're free. Look at us. And Jesus knew that they weren't free. Because you see, the greatest imprisonment starts on the inside where nobody sees, and then it starts to break down. I remember an illustration of that when I was watching a fly fisherman on the Mackenzie River in Oregon. He was fly fishing and he was catching these trout. He was putting it in a little basket. And I went up to him and I said, what flies do you use? And he opened up his fly basket and there must have been 300 tied flies of different shapes, sizes, and colors. Some quite dull, some very brilliant. And he said, I find the fly that works best and I catch him. And all of a sudden, zzz, he caught one. And the thing ran, zzz, and he just smiled. Oh, he said, I love this. I said, what do you love? He said, I love playing with these fish. I just let them run because they think they're free. And I let them run, zzz, and then I reel it in, and they run again, zzz. He said, oh, I love this. And the thing is just swimming all over the place. And I looked at him, and I thought, you're just like the devil. Because you see, in the devil's fly box, there are millions of flies that he's tied, and your name is on one of them. So is mine. The things that we easily fall prey to. Some people, it could be greed or sexual lack of self-control. It could be alcohol or drugs or lying or cutting corners or compromise. Every fly has that quality to it. And then when he sees us, often he'll throw that fly in there. And how many people will bite on it and say, I'm still free. Oh, I've tried that. I've done that. Look, I'm fine. And the devil just smiles. And someone sees something coming by, you know, like, oh, I could get into this affair and no one will find out. Yeah. Nobody knows. And we swim away. The only problem is when we're swimming, we hear this funny sound. Zzz. We think, what's that? And then we see another chance. Oh, no one caught me that first time. We get the next one. And then the next one. And we're still free. And we just swim away. But for some reason, that sound on the inside keeps following us. Zzz. And what we don't know is we got about 10 or 12 sujis out our mouths. And then when the devil is done playing with you, he sets the hook. And you feel it inside. Ah, what am I doing? And we see the devastating effects all around us. And we come to God and we say, Lord, what do I do? Because I can't get this stuff out. I thought I was free. And let me tell you that there's only one who can release you from that without it tearing your guts out. And he's the one that we receive into our hearts, because freedom begins not on the outside. Freedom begins on the, healing doesn't start on the outside. Healing begins on the inside. And Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Well, who's going to tell him? Who's going to go out and share and carry the heart of God? No, not the demands of God, not the wrath of God, not the shame that God might feel. No, no, no. God is saying, I come because I love you. Will someone take my heart, not of wrath, of love to people, and do it in the way that I would? I need couriers or I need spokespersons. And you know, he didn't only recruit Jeremiah. He's recruiting every single one of us. And if God asked you to be a spokesperson, what do you think? Would you say yes? How many of you would say, yeah, I'd say yes, yeah. Because he's asking us. That's why he put us here on this island. Not to just take up time and be religious people. No, to be spokespersons for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In appropriate ways. Not in demeaning, not in religious, appropriate ways. Well, how do you do that? How do you build the qualities? Would you write in your notes, number one, well, here's the first quality of a spokesperson for God. Stay near to God's heart. If you're going to be a spokesperson for the Lord, you got to stay near to God's heart. Isn't that right? You got to hang out with him. That's what Peter and John did Let's read together the scripture right under there, Acts 4:13. Go. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with... Yeah, you see what Jesus is saying is, hang out with me. Because you can't hang out with somebody without somehow becoming more and more like that person. Isn't that true? They influence you. That's why the Lord says, take care of the friends that you choose. Make sure they're good friends. Because bad company corrupts good morals. It'll affect you. I remember when they were doing a Baywatch special thing up on the North Shore. And one of the people that is a part of our church is one of the stuntmen or a double for David Hasselhoff. And so he said, Wayne, come up. Let's just hang on the set, hang around the set for a while. So I went up there and met David and we had lunch together. And right outside his trailer, you know, he has these weights that they pump so that they look good when they go out on the beach, you know. And so I'm hanging around all of these stars and all these celebrities. And then they look like, you know, plastic models out of a magazine, Glamour magazine. And they're walking around. And you hang around with them. I had lunch with them. And after a couple of days, you know, I found myself kind of walking like this. Even my voice changed. Hi, yes, I'm here. Until I passed by a mirror. I better go back to ministry, you know. But isn't that true? You just hang around those people for a while and it's like they rub off on you. On the other hand, on the good side of it, I was in Hilo and we had a friend named Noel Campbell that I hung around with. He's a wonderful and gracious man. And one of the things he'd always say is, I sure love you. I sure love you. I sure love you. And he was so genuine. And sometimes I would preach like the worst sermon in the world. I just tank. It was just terrible. And I'd walk out with my tail between my legs and he'd come up to me and say, Wayne, I sure love you.
I'm so glad somebody loved us.
You know, and you know, when he finally left and went back to the mainland, I found myself going up to people saying, I sure love you. I sure love you. And I thought, oh, something of that good quality rubbed off on me. And I think that's good. But you know, I don't think there's anyone better that we can hang out with than the one who is called the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And that's what Peter and John did. The people marveled and realized that they were untrained men, but recognized them as having been with Jesus. You know what my prayer is for all of us? Is that soon it will be obvious to others that you hang out a lot with Jesus. That's my prayer. Because that's how you begin to become spokespersons for the King of Kings. We say, well, where do you start? How do you walk with Jesus? You know, I always hear these Christian preachers say, walk with Jesus. Well, I mean, what do you do? Get this glaze in your eyes and just kind of slide? I'm walking with Jesus. You know, how do you walk with Jesus? Well, real easy. Here, number one, would you put in your bullet there? First is, be consistent in your daily devotions. Because when we're reading this Bible, when we're reading it, it's God's word. And as we read it, his word starts to go into our mind and sort of repatterns my mind. Well, that's how you think. That's how you would respond. Oh, when that problem took place, that's how you responded. Oh, that's what you think. Well, that's what you feel about those kinds of people, those kinds of ones who are hurting. Ah, oh, that's it. And pretty soon you hang out enough with Jesus. When you hit those situations, guess what? You start responding in the same way. You understand? And people say, you remind me of Jesus.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled God's Spokesman by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. We're going to leave you with a song that I think will be an encouragement to you. Once again, here is Pastor Wayne.
How many of you are glad that we serve an all-powerful, almighty God? Regardless of what we see, I know he's powerful. I know he's great. And I want you to know that he is in the house today. That the Lord himself is here. Because he said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am where? In your midst. And so what we want to do is not come to church. We want to come to Jesus as the church. and proclaim what a great God he is. The wonderful old hymn, How Great Thou Art. Let's sing that.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe.
Emeleau,
Emeleau, I'm
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.